We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Hill Dansby here with producer Cole. Which he's the only Cole.
Yes.
Letting his voice be known on WrestleMania weekend. So you let it be known that the real Cole, baby, is still here for you. The other one.
There's another one?
Barely. Yeah. Barely. I don't see him on TV. I don't see him around.
I got
you are the real, the real Cole Bebe. The other guy may be the devil, but he has nothing on you. I would pay good money to see you and him, though, put together like the Vince McMahon, you know, this is God versus Shawn Michaels angle.
Yeah. I mean, look, but also
you got a white sweater on. Your background's illuminating behind you.
I ascend. Or our descend from the heavens to come down. That's still like my all-time, probably my all-time favorite entrance, by the way, is that one. I think it's so underrated. It's so cool. Granted, Sean's also, I mean, he had the, wow, what a ride. Like, he had that entrance, but I don't know. There's just something about that. Probably because also, like, that match is just, like, it's like an eternal.
There's so many good WrestleMania entrances that I never really thought about it. We never really had that question on the show. What is my favorite WrestleMania entrance?
You could definitely argue that there's like better ones, but that to me is definitely like a
Just like favorite. Yeah, like it's not. And I understand the match ended up being shit, and it just ended up being low blow, and it sucked. But Nakamura's entrance coming out versus AJ Styles when he had the violin and everyone like it was peak Nakamura. That's as close as I was going to get to Tokyo Dome Nakamura.
Right,
full Michael Jackson garb, crown, like that entrance sticks out to me.
Entire crowd singing the theme.
Yeah, I wish the Fiend would have got a real entrance. Instead, they just put his ass out there in a box. But that Fiend entrance was fucking phenomenal. Fiend has my favorite, and I not just because Bray Wyatt passed away. He has my favorite SummerSlam entrance. When he debuted against Finn Balor, and no one had ever seen the Fiend. And it's the first time he comes out. That shit's and it's Bray Wyatt's head as the lantern. That shit's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
But Mania, that's so recent. Young me would say it's just Ultimate Warrior versus Hogan, title versus title. And he hits the sprints of all sprints because that shit is law.
He does the absolute opposite of Roman Reigns Undertaker entrances. Yes. Instead of walking even slower on the long path. That man is quick, fast.
You know what? We should do that just for TikTok. I should put it together. How many Ultimate Warrior WrestleMania entrances can we fit within one Roman Reigns WrestleMania? And you just loop it. Just Ultimate Warrior just going over and over. Roman taking his time. You just loop it and just have a counter. One, two, three.
You know, with Undertaker.
Probably fit like 40. Man. Probably fit at least 40. Man. Oh, Taker had some good ones too. I think he had a Ministry of Darkness one that was really good.
Yeah.
But I need like full hair Taker. Once he went to like Mohawk, shaved head, like that wasn't my shit. But yeah, I mean, fuck. If I go wild and go like Giant Gonzalez,
oh god, like,
came out with the fur shoulders. Sean's up there.
I mean,
with
a couple of Cena's had quite a few really good ones.
With the multiple Cena's, a lot of people love that multiple
that
Cena
one. That one's pretty good.
Trips, obviously.
Bianca's last year was amazing.
Yeah. I like Bianca's with, even though the little girl story is amazing and they kicked ass, but Bianca with the band was really good.
The band was awesome.
HBCU
too.
Band was great.
Yes.
That's up there. Yeah. Last year, Dominic Mysterio.
Yes.
Dirty Dom coming out, handcuffed with the Rey Mysterio mask.
Yeah. That was really good.
And we'll talk about I'll reiterate some of my fantasy booking for this year. And then we're going to talk about the fallout and where we lead. That entrance directly correlates to one of my predictions.
And for those listening, understand that when Dre's not here and Kel and I, particularly Kel, start fantasy booking, some weird things begin to happen and they actually begin to manifest themselves into reality.
They don't know. I wrote all of Dirty Dom's story. I wrote the whole thing.
Dirty Dom's story, especially getting the North American title right here on this podcast.
Right here. You and I.
You're in the right spot. Magic happens here when it's the two of us and the wildest shit happens. So that's why I've got a whole bunch of wild shit ready to talk about here. And I'm interested to see your reactions to it.
I'm
sure it's going to piss people off. But you know what? It's go big or go home. Why predict boring shit? You know?
That's what we're here for, Cole. All right. Let's see. So we're going to start with, let's run through NXT real quick because I want to hear your wild hot take.
And deliver.
Stand and deliver NXT 7 matches. NXT's really good. What else is there to say? Like, it's been really good. This is one of those times where the television is back to where it needs to be and entertaining. NXT premium live events or pay-per-views or whatever, specials, they have to get back to the level where they once were, because the television has gotten back and it's as good as it was in the heyday that we remember and the storylines and everything. But what really made it stand out back there, much like AEW, was once you get to the pay-per-view, you're in for it. Like, you're getting a banger, A+, A-, maybe at worst a B+ pay-per-view every single time. They have to get back to that level. So we'll see if they deliver like that here. First match, Sean Spears versus Joe Gacy.
Joe Gacy is just doing his best Mankind impression, really, of just like, I'm going to go out there and just get the shit kicked out of me and smile the whole time.
I like it. I like his character. I think he works better than most people think.
Better than whatever he was doing before. So we've stopped the occult stuff. We're going away from that. Now he's just a crazy man.
I don't mind the occult stuff, by the way.
Who just gets the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah. And again, I understand we just lost Bray and all that stuff. And I haven't watched the documentary yet. I'll probably watch that today. But it's one of those things where if they bring Uncle Howdy back, I get it, but it's not Bray and it's very closely tied. So maybe they'll do like some paranormal stuff with that and write it and it might be okay. But I think WWE is ripe for a next like scary paranormal dude. So the cult stuff didn't work.
It didn't. That's why I don't think you can necessarily go back to it with him in particular, but maybe there's another faction that kind of works with it, but I don't know.
Yeah. Like, but Gacy as a guy, just be that new weird guy. Even if you're not scary, just be weird. Like, you don't have to be cult, because we saw that with the Wyatt family and it's very hard.
Yes.
To top cult leader Bray. Like, it's a hot take number one of this show.
Here we go.
It is harder to duplicate a Bray Wyatt cult leader gimmick than it is to duplicate a scary Undertaker gimmick.
Sure.
Bray did that gimmick so much better than anyone can.
And both of them were kind of like, Undertaker's was always of kind of the time, right?
Yeah.
Like, we all kind of accepted it in today's day and age because he was able to get that over back in the day when that was much more of a normal thing, when WWE was coming up with all these zany characters. he got that so over. And then, of course, there's the alternate gimmicks within the gimmick, right? Because then you have Badass Taker, you got Biker Taker and all that. So where like Bray's faction worked is that there was kind of like a, there was an aura and a mystique about them where there was like an, like the promos were smart in that they were actually like mysterious and foreboding, you know, and it wasn't like based off like this kind of cartoonish idea of like, oh, I'm the Undertaker. I came back from the dead. Like, it's not that, right? It was something that was kind of
Death Valley.
It was right. It was constructed in reality. It was like, oh, these are crazy people from the swamp. This is like, we're getting Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like kind of level here.
Yeah.
You know? So like where it's like enough based in reality where you can kind of get that. So, and I think at least like Gacy is doing the weird thing, right? I think to your point. So, and I think this is working better than what was going on before. So
I thought he was good. The faction just didn't really work.
Sure.
It didn't seem like everybody else wanted to be there.
And it's gotten nerfed every week.
Yeah. I mean, he's still getting nerfed, but in a good way.
But now he's like using it as a, like a device of like, oh, that's part of my character as I get nerfed. Yeah. Like that's that's working. And now he's going to be facing off against, let me stare off aimlessly into space while I hold a chair, Sean Spears.
I was a big Ty Dillinger guy.
Yeah.
The 10. Yeah. That, not so I was much the that chairman. Guy. I am not a chairman guy.
Yeah.
And bringing him back with his real name, it's, I get it, but I don't get it. Because
sure.
It's okay if you elevated your name where you were gone and then you want to bring someone back in. Like Matt Cardona.
Would come back as Matt Cardona.
As Matt Cardona. Like I don't need.
As he says, Zack Ryder's dead.
Yeah, I don't need that. You know, just building the storyline. I don't care. Zack Ryder's dead. Matt Cardona's coming back. He's elevated himself off of that name. Sean Spears did not. He took a clear step backwards with that name. He added nothing besides his chair gimmick, which isn't as good as the Ty Dillinger gimmick. Like, the perfect 10 Ty Dillinger is so much better. You can just give him an edge, but call him Ty Dillinger again. It made more sense. And especially coming back to NXT. If he went to the main roster, maybe. But NXT is where Ty Dillinger really thrived.
Sure.
And I think the pop would have been bigger. The music, bringing back that music and everything with a 10, even a menacing 10. You could have, like, you know, started off with the goofy countdown and lights and then just darkened everything.
Yeah.
And made him like a menacing. You know, Orange Cassidy pulls off like the, I don't give a fuck the best, but you just like walk out and then instead of like all the hoopla, he's just he'll count down and then 10 hits and he's just like just a cool ass calm 10 and then keep it moving. Like Ty Dillinger was just a better gimmick. So for that reason, Joe Gacy finally wins.
Yeah, get Joe Gacy a win. He needs one.
Yeah, Sean Spears, I don't give a fuck about him winning right now.
I mean, yeah, I think he could still figure in the 10 into the gimmick, but yeah, he's got a I agree.
Then six woman tag team match.
Uh-huh.
This is probably going to knock down that overall rating of this pay-per-view, but they have a lot of talented women. Sean, his explorer page is exploring because he's getting them from all ends of the earth. And the only way for them to get better is to get time on platforms like this.
Yeah. I will say my favorite part about all of this was when they announced the match and Thea Hale was doing the Rock mono arm. Like that shit popped. But I was amazing. And like they've all had a decent story going. So like I don't mind that this match here is on the card. I agree with you. Like they need some way to just keep all the other women kind of going while they have Valkyria and Roxanne as doing the champ stuff. So I think the faces win. I think they kind of do a win at this point. I think you'll probably see this one come on after the kickoff show match and kind of get the card going.
Yeah, hopefully they open. You don't want to sandwich this in the wrong spot.
No, don't sandwich it. Yeah.
Don't want that bathroom.
AEW would sandwich this. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't bathroom break this match. And then Baron Corbin and Braun Breaker versus Axiom and Nathan Frazier. It's a tough one to pick, kind of. Because Axiom and Nathan Frazier are going to give good moves, but they're not really a tag team. Like, they were just kind of like just put together. But I think it's time for Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker to go to the main roster.
Right. And that's really where this kind of comes down to. Yeah. Right? It's like, if they lose, it's a clear sign that this is, they're going back up. And I would agree with you. I think they both have to go up together. At this point, they're so kind of entwined and they're both helping each other out so much that I think it makes sense to bring the whole team up. It doesn't just have to be, I feel like we've been asking for years. When is Bron Breakker? When's the moment? When do you pull the trigger on Bron Breakker? When does he come up? But now it kind of makes sense to do them together. So I don't know. I could see this as a title change. But at the same time, I don't know if this is the team that they would necessarily want to be beat by. I kind of wish you would have like an actual squad that would kind of come down and beat him. So maybe they win it here, and then maybe on the NXT, either the following NXT or the NXT after that, they drop the tag titles. I think they drop them on TV and then they'll show up.
You need a real team. Like the Creed brothers went up too early.
Right.
They're not even in this ladder match. Like, so that was like kind of a weird call up, and they could heat them up, but it's still like they'd be better in a faction. I've always said the Creed brothers and Bron Breakker are made to be in a faction together.
Yeah.
Because it screams.
Big buff guys out of the gym.
That's it. Singlets.
Lifting weights. Wearing singlets. Just kicking ass.
Crushing shit. Yeah, it's what they had with Kurt Angle, you know, and those guys. It's just, it makes sense, and it establishes Bron Breakker as something more than just a wildly athletic guy. And that's a faction that can have a mouthpiece, that can have a manager. You're really building off of something if you put those guys together.
With Alpha Academy and just have all singlets.
That's it. All the singlets.
All singlets.
One faction.
You wear a singlet, this is your spot right here.
What?
We're taking over.
Do you know the merch? With just t-shirts with singlets on the t-shirts? Oh, all singlets. AS.
We're all AS logo.
That's it. Instead of all stars, but it's AS and a star, but it's all singlets.
We've invented the faction. This is it.
Singlets on t-shirts.
And then it's all about just getting people who shouldn't be in a singlet. And bada bang, you got a comment. I mean, it's perfect.
The giant Omos just in a singlet. Just, oh, the crowd would be chanting, singlet, singlet, singlet.
Then you can have singlet matches. The loser has to put on a singlet.
I love it. That's the gimmick. Everyone they beat, they have to wear a singlet. I mean,
it's kind of like an evolution of Alpha Academy. It's like the jacket. It's the same thing.
That's it.
It's just better.
I like it. That's hot take number two. we're keeping it counted.
We're getting this shit wild. There's probably a bunch of people rolling their eyes being like, fuck out of here.
Someone's going to add a hot take counter to this. We're going. And then, babyfaces win the women's match. Corbin and Bron Breakker. I think you sold me on it when the tag match. Then we have Valkyrie versus Roxanne Perez. Valkyrie retains just because Roxanne Perez has had the belt before. She's doing great things. I just don't know if this is a farewell match or, I'm getting another run match. And I'm leading towards this is, again, another, I've done my stuff here. It's time for new women to kind of take the ball and run with it. See if I can sink or swim on the main roster. And I think Roxanne Perez moves up another, and we'll go to this, Raw After Mania call up from NXT. And me and Dre went through this earlier in the week. The roster on Raw is thin in terms of women's roster is thin. So she'll get a chance if they move her up to Raw. Yeah. No one else is coming up. Tiffy's already up. She's SmackDown. Like, everybody went to SmackDown. So, Jade, SmackDown. Like, SmackDown's loaded.
Right.
So, if Roxanne can move up and get an angle on Raw, it's not bad. I think she loses, and then she moves up. And, Lyra just lives to fight another day, and we'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe Sol is, like, the next person they build up to challenge her, because Sol is really good. They have some talent that needs to be elevated.
Right. And then Lyra's got the whole other storyline going on with Tatum. So there's still more meat on that bone. I think it's just good that this is probably as good a time as any for Roxanne to go up because she's got something that's working and got a little bit of heat behind it and it's working. So yeah. Like now's the time to push her with some momentum going where she can go up to the main roster and already have a character kind of established. I think it's interesting that it's like, I wasn't sure like heel Roxanne would work and it totally works. It's great. Yeah. I think she's done really awesome work. Just being just mean. She's just mean. Yeah. It's great.
Nice little tweener.
But she cuts deep with, yeah. with like all of her lines. So like and it's totally working and she has an attitude that's totally working. And I think based off of how other results will probably go for WrestleMania, it probably makes sense that not only are they getting more women on the Raw roster, but women heels as well.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, much needed going forward. Then Obafemi, Dijak, Josh Briggs. Obafemi's nerfing everyone, but
this dude.
Big meaty man bumping meat. Let's do it.
This dude, man.
Obafemi. And Dijak's been really good.
Dijak has been good. But you know, even if he's wearing sunglasses inside. But Obafemi's a monster.
Yeah.
You guys have talked about it, but just it's not only that he is an absolute monster in the ring. It's he just has the one-liners that cut. He will turn into all of a sudden like he's doing like Denzel Washington doing a monologue. Like it's like what the hell? Like this dude is like it's like Training Day shit. Like it's amazing. Like it's so good. And the fact that he's doing this and he's really barely been a fixture. He's not even been on the show for a year.
No.
And I feel like he is already light years ahead of so many other people that they've brought through the system. So I'm excited for him to win this. I'm excited for him to continue to get great momentum because eventually you got to be building him towards that main belt.
Yep.
And I tell you what, Dragunov Obafemi, Trick Williams Obafemi, you got some really good matches that you could stick with him. I think the key part is how they handle him like finally losing and being careful with that, right? Because that's always tricky. But
down the line, they could have him losing a triple threat and not like really do that. Like it's
everyone's gotta be at least a little beatable, you know?
I don't know. He's giving Black Gunther vibes.
I know.
Man is Black Gunther.
Triple H is like, yeah, these people don't fucking lose. And it's, no. I mean, it is refreshing because, again, you don't want to take the Vince path where just all these people are just being nerfed mysteriously one week. Yeah. So I'm not saying that, but like, there's got to be some kind of weakness that's about it's like a big bad in a video game or something like that, where it's like eventually you got to find a weak.
Yeah.
But it ain't here.
No, the surprise roll up. Undefeated.
Taking off the Creed, man.
Just grab a little school tights. Boy. Yep, that's all you need.
Schoolboy to death. Small package to death.
Small package. Shout out to Edge of Christian Podcast. back in the day before the name changes, where they had the small package. That was their best gimmick on that show. Then next match. Where are we at? Ilya Dragunov versus Tony D'Angelo.
I'm glad you brought this one up first because this really shouldn't be the main event.
It's not the main event.
It's not.
They've already announced it. It's not the main event. It might actually open the show. I don't know. Like
you're point.
trying to get some distance between it. But Tony D'Angelo I'm not a Tony D'Angelo guy. They sing his praises. It's a very 90s-esque gimmick. Because it's very dependent on like something where you got to stretch the imagination. And he does well with it, I guess. I just don't find it funny or captivating in any way.
It's a little less cartoony than it was probably in the NXT like 2.0
phase.
Oh,
yeah, definitely.
It, like that, back then it felt like super cartoony.
Yeah.
It now kind of feels like it has a little bit of like steam behind it. And it seems like he's very like, everyone has nothing but nice things to say about him. So I think it's a great opportunity for him. And this is like, hey, you're getting a championship match on the card that's at Mania. So, but I don't think this title ain't changing hands. I think Dragunov has still got plenty to do in NXT.
Yeah, no, he's not losing this. This is going to be a win for him. Really, this is, hey, Tony, you made the most out of this gimmick. We gave this to you when Vince came and like fucked everything up and wanted to go back to 1991, where everyone had to have a gimmick, and kind of just stuck with you. You're trying to make it work. You've done a great job just buying into it. We're going to throw you a bone, but this really is, and this is what the company is now, show us you can wrestle. Like, right. the gimmick's good enough. Like, if we need to, it's not my cup of tea, but if you need to, gimmick's good enough. Show us that you can wrestle. And against this guy, everyone can wrestle against this guy. Right. So go out there and put on a banger, and it'll elevate you in the loss, because people will look at you as a wrestler with a gimmick. Now they just look at you as a gimmick, and I don't even know if this guy's a wrestler. So
Dragunov makes everyone look everyone. So good.
And if you don't look good,
shit out of everything.
If you don't look good, that's going to be more telling on you than it is Dragunov.
Agreed.
And then main event, Carmelo versus Trick. Whoop that Trick. Whoop that Trick. They almost went at it at Wale Mania. I also like that WWE is like, we understand kayfabe is not what it was.
Hey, probably the best brawl that they've had, so that Booker T's not going, oh, shokey dokey, quack, quack.
Oh, my God. He's the worst.
He's terrible.
I hate Booker T.
I'm sorry. Worst. I know there are people that listen to the show that love Booker T.
They do. He's not good at his job.
It's more just like he inserts himself into everything because he wants to throw his little trademark catchphrase in there. It's like, no. Like the moment that Trick had with Lash, like that was awesome.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you just hear shuggy doggy quack quack. You're just like, bro.
It's the worst catchphrase.
Just like,
how about that?
Like, you know what some announcers are really good at? Just laying out and just not saying shit. But it's that he introduces himself.
It got to be about Book.
As his own character. And there's just so many of the announcers that are like Wade Barrett's a million times better at him. Corey Graves, million times better at him than that. Like, where they can be in whatever kind of a host gimmick that they've got, but it's like not just like, oh, I'm just gonna fire off my line at any time. So anyways, that said,
it's the worst. And his ad-libs during Trick's entrance, like, I don't like them. But
no,
people like
it's annoying. Like, I'd rather listen to the crowd. Like, I want to hear the crowd chanting for him so that it's like, oh man, like I hear the momentum, I hear like how into it that they are, but you can't hear it when he's like, what? Like,
and his mic is always loud. Turn his mic down. Or if not, he'll just yell.
Just
his mic
off.
Is down. Yeah,
but anyways,
not great.
Who wins this match?
Oh, Trick wins this match. Yeah.
Trick wins this match?
Yeah, it'd be a great swerve if Melo won and Trick has to keep battling back. But no, Trick wins this match because it's Trick finally overcoming and getting out of Melo's shadow. And it's Trick Dragunov again, because Dragunov beat him, right? And now he has to climb that mountain. And Trick's going to be champion. And they laid out a nice, succinct story and plan for him to get there. At the end of the day, Melo's been champion. You know, Melo is money. This is the story of how to build Trick, where maybe Trick loses again to Dragunov, and then it's just like, no, I refuse. And then around SummerSlam time, Trick finally overcomes him. But yeah, you're just building Trick and beating Melo here and finally stepping out of that shadow is the next way to go.
And then there's all the rumors about is this the time when Melo goes up? So
I also think that's true.
Would be the perfect just jump off point, have him go out on the Shield. Way to go. Thank you.
It's tough. I don't know where he slots in to the main roster.
I don't know where he slots in either. But like he'll, if there's anyone I have faith in to find their way, Carmelo Hayes.
Yeah. I had faith in him more when it was him and Trick.
Sure. Sure.
That's a duo because I thought they worked and they were money.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I don't want him to go up there and just be Ricochet. You know,
that's also
like,
true. But he's just like, he's so good on the mic and creating a character behind the microphone as well. Like the crowd will kind of.
Yeah. I just, they've had so many things in place that I guess it's with the Cody story with, you know, CM Punk coming back even since November, so much stuff was solidified. And then you have a true big bad in one spot in the mid-card title, and then Logan Paul being an ambassador to the company and the other mid-card title, that there wasn't spots for people to slide in. And you still like needed to slide in the Kevin Owens, the Sami Zayns, the higher mid-card guys, upper echelon guys, who they're really main event guys who came down from last year to fill out your mid-card. And we just like, man, no titles are moving. There's no movement. There's nowhere for someone to slot in. So even tag team wise, those have been stuck in the storyline with the Judgment Day. So like DIY really hasn't had a chance to grow. You have two new factions on SmackDown who are feuding. We'll talk about against each other. They need space to go. Santos Escobar is looking like a big bad. After this, he needs space to grow. Andrade is back. He needs space to get back into his position and grow. So with Melo, it's just like, damn, like where do they start you on this card? You just have to have some good feuds and matches, I guess. Hopefully he continues the heel role. He's great in the heel role. Bring him up. Let him be a dick. And then fight, you know, guys like Ricochet and have a program where it's going to be like, damn, they worked.
Yeah.
And they crushed it. You know, have him feud against, you know, maybe the LWO after. Like have him have good matches with a Rey Mysterio, who's a legend, and going that direction to really build him up. Because I guess elevating him, just keep him visible. Because you don't have to rush him into anything.
Yeah.
Trick, when he goes up, is on a 3-year plan.
Exactly.
There's no rush.
We kind of know that there's still a path for him.
Yeah. So it's all right. Let it clear out. Let some of these other guys get their times. But no, Trick is on that next level. Same thing they have to do with Austin Theory. It's like, yo, we gave him a lot quick, but he's really fucking good still.
Right.
And he's really good as a heel. Let's just put him back on this 3-year plan. Let everybody else kind of clear out and get their moments. And Punk gets his main event, everything. And we just know the guy's like 28. Like by the time he's 31, he's part of our future. Let's 3-year plan him back to where he has to be. Like slow play it, because Vince shot his ass to the top and damn near killed his old buzz.
Yeah. Cell phones.
But they found a way to keep him on TV while you're doing it. They always cooled him down, but him, Grayson Waller, they've been getting beat up. It's funny. Every now and then they have a banger of a match. Just keeping him around.
Right.
Till that mid card opens up and we can tell better stories.
Right.
So I just want Melo to be on that same plan. I think he loses. Trick win.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
All right, done with NXT. But now, that means we get to talk Mania.
Oh, yes.
I gave my predictions on the last show. Want to get your predictions, and we get to be crazier because last time, okay, I know who I predicted. I know who's going to win in my head. Now I've had time to really think through the crazy shit.
Let's
now
face
I
it,
got time
just
for the
Dre's
hot
not
takes.
here.
The gloves are off, Coke.
We're
Gloves
about
are
to go
off.
crazy.
This is where we really make the money right now. So we'll go through both nights right now and then talk about a little bit of fallout overall after we're done. But night one, Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch, I'll remind people, my pick is Rhea Ripley to retain in this match. Becky has been great. I don't think she needs the belt right now. Her job, much like it was in NXT, much like it's been the entire year, is to elevate other people. She's going to elevate Rhea with her first real feud and first real banger of a match since last year and winning the title. So, yep, I have Rhea winning, but this is going to be a good match.
Yeah, this has got like all of the markings of like this is a marquee big time match. And I mean, that's what it was always going to be when it was kind of like even from last year, it was like, okay, we kind of see where this is going. Cause it's really at this point with the momentum that Rhea's got and how big she's gotten over the past year, year and a half, there's really only one other person on the roster that like you can throw in the match with her that you go like, okay, this is like, we're on equal footing. Cause Becky is like, Becky has gotten to the point of invulnerability, right? The ultimate spot where the second she enters any kind of program, enters the ring, decides to cut a promo on someone, just crowd is eating it up constantly. I think what's been most impressive to see here is that it truly feels like Becky's the second fiddle in this. Like Rhea is so over. Like, it's insane. And now we get to the point where like Rhea has very justifiably been in this kind of middle category, right? Where like, yes, she is the leader of a heel faction. She's a heel per se, but the crowd is eating this up. So, you know, is this a part where I almost could see this match being kind of the double switch here where, you know, in theory, Becky is still kind of playing, you know, she's always still kind of in the middle. That's kind of her game, right? Where she's kind of the anti-hero, but she plays more of the face side of that, right? But I think this could be a point where we get to kind of seeing a more like badass Becky Lynch on a warpath where she's going to lose this match and not take it well and just want to just start beating the shit out of people and being like, I gotta be the man again. And I'm like, I've lost that edge, you know, and elevate Rhea into more of a babyface category. So I kind of see this match kind of turning out that way where, you know, maybe Rhea does come out with a, like kind of the evil entrance kind of thing. And Becky, of course, like they're both going to be over. The crowd's going to be super hot for this. But at the end, Rhea wins. Maybe Becky is going to get up to some shenanigans after the bell that kind of gets the crowd to boo her. So that's what I could see happening here.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to turn anyone against Becky.
Right.
And Becky kind of has
always,
like that.
She'll always get cheered. But like,
yeah,
if anything, it's more that her tactics and her motives are coming from more of a heel-ish.
Yep.
Rather than like a, I'm just a badass and I don't give a shit kind of face. It's now going to be more like, wait, I'm losing my edge. This fucking, like, I'm losing these matches. What the hell is going on? I'm just going to beat the shit out of everybody.
Yeah. I think this ends in like the sign of respect. And that's how you turn and get Rhea more babyface, where it's finally like a, all right, Becky, a handshake, hug, passing of the torch, arm up type of thing. And Rhea's like, yeah. And then Damian Priest is like, what the hell is going on?
Sure.
Dom is gone. You're soft. I'm the leader. I still haven't cashed in yet. And night one is just like, I hate you all. Like, you guys suck. You guys have been holding me back. And then we have, you know, Rhea going on to be more of a baby face, like you said. And then they need more heels on Raw. So going forward, the next night, I think that's where we start to see like, okay, what's in the next plans for Rhea? because SummerSlam build has to come. I don't know if anyone's really truly in line to be Miss Money in the Bank yet. There's, you know, a long time, I guess, between now and July, 3 months. I don't think you give it to like a Jade Cargill yet.
No, I think I know who you give it to. I think that briefcase is going to Tiffy.
Oh, Tiffy time.
Yeah, I think it's Tiffy time with that, that briefcase.
No, I love that. Oh, she'd be the best of assholes.
And the thing is like all like notoriously in the history of the Money in the Bank, all the women have cashed it like immediately. Like, yeah. All of them. Or like very close. I mean, EO held on to it for a little bit.
Yeah.
Tiffy, hold on to that thing till next WrestleMania and just cut promos with that briefcase. Just
you know she's gonna bedazzle it.
It's got merch. It's got merch written all over it. It's got promos written all over it. Like she can't just kind of like what they've tried to do with like Senor Money in the Bank. Yep. She could do this a million times better. So
yeah, it's
there's
gonna
our first. There's our first future booking is Tiffany Stratton is winning.
I'm with it now. Yeah, it's gonna be pink, bedazzled, everything, just, or maybe Tiffany colored.
She's gonna have all talk segments called Tiffany Epiphanies. And it's just gonna be her in that briefcase, all bedazzled. She might even just be like dolling it up.
Yep.
Oh my god, the promo she could cut with that thing the
just
whole time.
Matching briefcase outfit.
It's also or it's all how you like, oh that's it. No, the briefcase changes with her outfit all
outfit every time. Time. Yeah.
It's like mean girl shit. Like yes. This is what we gotta go.
Wednesdays we wear pink type shit. Yeah. It's
writes itself.
I like
it. And it keeps her on TV every week and she doesn't even have to wrestle every week.
Yeah. No, I love it. And it keeps around the main event picture without always being there. So you give her secondary fuse, but she's always stalking the champion.
And Rhea's belt, no one's touching that for a while. But that other belt?
So, well, we'll talk about it.
We'll talk
about it. So I like that. I think, you know, Rhea needs more heels to kind of work with. I don't know when they do the next, like, draft or shakeup.
Yeah.
But there's two GMs now. So they're going to shake shit up sooner or later. So one brand may be a little heavier. I'm assuming it'll be either around or before the Netflix move.
Yeah.
Because you kind of have to give Netflix an idea of like what the talent are that are going there. So we'll see how that one plays out. Then we have Gunther versus Sami Zayn.
Yes.
I fantasy booked this a little bit last time. So I'll just go through with not only what happens, but how this plays out. Sami Zayn loses to Gunther in this match. Gunther stands tall. Him and Chad Gable now start beefing. Chad's like, I told you I couldn't do it. I'm the man to do it. Sami's like, no, I am going to do it. I'm telling you, I'm not going to let you down. At Backlash, we have the triple threat between those three. Because Gunther's still like, ha, 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 I beat both of you guys. But I'll beat you both at the same time. And then they're off wrestling and Sammy or Gable beat each other. You get the belt off of Gunther and he never has to get pinned.
So I like where you're going with this.
Yeah. Oh, let's get weird, Cole.
I want to take it a step further. Okay. And actually, I have two scenarios for this because one can be based off of what you've got going on.
Well, I've got two hot takes over one match.
No. It's not really two hot takes. My initial, like, before really kind of like hearing your pitch for it, because this I have like a modified version of that. The way I almost originally saw it going out here is Gunther wins here, WrestleMania night one, but they're going to wrestle a classic. Obviously, Sami Zayn is perfectly well equipped to like get in the ring with Gunther and give you the hope. And give you the idea that maybe just for a second or 2 seconds, he might have it. Because that's just Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
So I think what might work into here is that Chad and Sammy are kind of cultivating kind of a game plan. They're trying to figure out how to take down this beast. My idea would be Sammy gets Gunther. He not necessarily injures Gunther, but he gets him weak in a particular spot. You know, he works a knee, he works an arm. I don't know. Something that like they've decided to target, right? Like him and Gable have decided to target like a body part of Gunther, maybe his arm so that his slaps aren't as powerful, right? And he's just working the arm the whole match and gets to a point where like Gunther's arm is a total mess. Sammy gets him in a hold where it's like, oh my God, they might get Gunther to tap out here. But Gunther just kind of powers through it, gets the win. We get to Raw after WrestleMania.
Oh, this is the time.
And my original idea was that it wouldn't be a triple threat. Chad Gable would go to Pierce's office.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like it's the first segment of Raw after Mania and like Gunther's there. Right. And they're talking with Adam Pearce. And Chad Gable goes in there and goes, you know what? Sammy couldn't get the job done. You know what? Gunther, you give me a shot tonight. And I can never go for this belt if you hold it again.
Ooh.
Put in one of those stipulations, right? Where like Chad's like, this is it. I'm going to make this my last chance to get you. I know I can get you. Now I know I've got you beat. I can get you down. And Gunther's a little hurt.
Yeah.
So therefore, Chad, they do main event Raw after Mania is Chad Gable and Gunther. And Chad Gable, because of Gunther's injury, you're able to work an injury angle so that it doesn't look like Gunther is like
full. Yeah, yeah, he's not full go. Yeah.
He's not full dead, right? Or yeah, exactly. So it's like you're able to work in some kind of injury angle. Chad Gable at the end of Raw after Mania has the belt. Wins the Intercontinental Championship. Everyone goes home happy because we want to see Gable win it.
Yeah.
And then you can work in an angle where like Sammy's like, wait a second. Did you just make me like, did I just do the work for you?
Like, yeah. Was this your plan all along?
Then they can beef and SummerSlam can be those two. Now, also, I will say alternatively, this triple threat situation could be what they do on Raw after Mania. Either way, I just think Gunther loses the belt on the Raw after Mania.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's power to having someone actually beat Gunther. Like having them beat each other doesn't give them the rub it would of beating Gunther.
Right.
But again, I'm saving that. Like this guy's an animal. And then he just be like, you know what? I'm tired of you guys. Like no one pinned me, but my eyes on a different prize. And with Money in the Bank coming up, I know I can go and get that.
Right.
Cause unlike the women's, which you kind of solved my problem, Gunther, Money in the Bank, I understand Royal Rumble has like a mystique and everything. Gunther, Money in the Bank, just final boss shit, the real final boss, sorry, Rock, final boss shit, Gunther holding the briefcase
ring,
every week.
Ring General briefcase.
The Ring General, restoring order to the mat.
He could cut some mean, he could cut some mean promos with that too.
And at that point, you really don't know who he's cashing in on because he hates everyone equally.
And, you so, and he could dominate anyone who's like after
yes,
the match.
Anyone. So Cody got to have his head on a swivel. Spoiler alert. like whoever, whether it's Drew, whether it's Priest, whether it's Rollins, all of them, because Gunther's cup. Everybody has to have their
everyone
head
knows
on
that, yeah. That unlike Veer.
Yes.
Gunther is actually
coming. Yes. Definitely Veer. Veer is still somewhere. Yeah, still coming.
Gunther wins. Raw after Mania, he drops the title. And then he can take a little bit of time off. He can take a summer off. You know, or not necessarily a summer.
He's going to whoop ass.
He could take a couple of weeks off at least. Yeah. So that way you can kind of like let him cool off and then he comes back. And then you can start injecting him and you could start planning and looking ahead to an idea of like a Cody Gunther.
I would have agreed with you, except Paris is the next pay-per-view and they're building that around him.
That's the point.
Your European Gunther is like... He's selling tickets. He's gonna he's gonna do something over there. And then one of my favorite matches to look forward to. Six pack tag team ladder match.
Me too.
Undisputed tag team championships. Judgment Day.
Uh-huh.
Finn Balor, Damian Priest, DIY. Yep.
Uh-huh.
The Awesome Truth. The New Day. A-Town Down Under, which is a hilarious name for a tag
that's
team.
A great tag team name.
Phenomenal. And New Catch Republic. So
this is definitely the match I'm honestly looking the most forward to. Just because this is
I love ladder matches. Yeah, I love when the IC title had one every year at Mania. I love that there's gonna be bodies flying around for the tag team championships. There's so many different types of teams here. It's gonna be a fun match. It's no way it's gonna be boring. You got to be glued to your seat during this. So I've fantasy booked this one already, but I'll let you give your take on how this plays out.
I feel like it's where the hot take actually resides is someone thinking that there's going to be one winner in this match, right? I feel like everyone is in agreement that the whole reason this match exists is so that they can split up the belts.
Yes, sir.
Which means we all have to pick two winners.
Okay. I was about to say, are you going to do it? Are you going to be the one to say it's going to be one winner? Okay, good. That's, you're not that hot right now. That, the take is not taking that much right now. No, it's I've picked my two winners for the belts.
I'm trying to think of who gets them.
Yeah, on mine, because
it's not the Judgment Day. I'm going to rule out the Judgment Day is not going to get any of the belts.
No. Judgment Day is not winning, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. The Awesome Truth are coming down with those Raw tag team titles.
And it's got to be, I feel like that makes the most story sense, because it's got to be R-Truth up there with Damian Priest, like on a ladder, right?
Yeah,
hands down. Those two have to be up there, and he somehow comes down with a belt.
Yep. Yep. Like somehow. And he has to knock him off, and then that's like the story of that one. And then at some point, you're going to have either four teams or all six teams like punching each other to grab these belts. Like, that's how it's going to end. And then I feel like the other titles I thought would go to New Catch Republic, because they've been doing a lot on SmackDown. Dre had a different prediction. So you're going to be the tiebreaker for us, Producer Cole. Baby.
I am going to say A-Town Down Under. And the reason why is because I feel like they want to, like, they clearly want to keep them around on TV as like obnoxious people. And there are so many different tag teams you can start throwing at them to like have them in feuds. So like the New Day can go after them. Street Profits can go after them if they're not doing any more stuff with Bobby Lashley. There are ways to like just have them be that annoying tag team that you want to lose every week, and they continue to win, and then they get on their segments backstage or their segments in the ring, and are just, there's a chance to have it like a truly obnoxious heel having a title, which we don't really have.
I like that option.
And also, maybe this is the elusive spot where we can give Austin Theory some momentum and give him some credibility back. This might be the arena to do it. It works. Like, what he and Grayson Waller do works, and they don't have anybody else in the company really doing what they do. So A-Town Down Under.
Listen, I'm not mad at that.
I would have the worst pick out of everyone. Soft spot, so. I would love to see DIY win.
That's Dre's pick.
Really soft spot. I'd love to see the New Day with the titles again, but I think this makes the most sense.
Yeah. We all have three different picks. I kind of like you and Dre's picks better, but I gotta stick to what I'm doing. Like, I didn't even think really about A-Town Down Under and the run they can go on after this, mostly because SmackDown has so many heel tag teams.
Sure.
Right now, like Street Profits or Conda Tweeners. At this point, and then
in my scenario, AOP, like this whole thing with Bobby Lashley doesn't work, and we just get the Street Profits back. That's really what I'm hoping for.
That's probably what we need.
100%. We don't need, like, they don't need to be with Bobby Lashley.
No. Or even if they are, give them MVP back, and they don't have to be heels.
Yeah. No,
just
be
let
heels.
Them be a babyface action.
Let them it's not that awesome. Serious. Yeah.
Yeah. They just three black guys who look pretty good in suits that are going to come through and wreck shit when it's time to go into ring.
Right.
It's not hard. Not hard to pull off. And then we have Bianca, Jade, and Naomi versus Damage Control, Dakota, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. This one's pretty clear.
There's a 0% chance Damage Control wins this. No. 0% chance, right?
Or Dakota Kai.
Or Damage Control. I feel like
Damage Control is fine. They're not losing their belts. Dakota Kai is going to get nerfed.
I wonder what's in store for them after Mania. I don't know if there's anything left for them to really do that's like puts them at the top of the card. I feel like the whole Bayley thing was kind of like the top of the story, unless they're going to keep that story going. I don't know. I'm worried about what's going on with Damage Control after this, but this match is all about, let's just make Jade Cargill look incredible. That's what this whole match is set up to do. She's gonna get the hot tag, come in, kill everybody, get the pin, and they're going to stand tall at the end of this match. I think that's, and maybe, maybe if you really want to take it the extra step, is Jay gets the win. They all stand tall at the end. It's great. And then at the very end, Jay just kicks the shit out of both of them. It just is like, I'm the best.
Let's not break black people's heart. Like, that's a Monday angle. Let's do that on Friday.
I understand. Yeah, you're probably right. Probably for later. But the point being, like, Jade starts going on the path of like,
yeah,
time to dominate.
Makes sense. Yeah, no, I don't mind that at all. I would put that more towards Friday we're booking the future thing.
Not a WrestleMania moment. I would agree. Yeah, with that.
I would think her and Naomi would be a great first program for Jade. Because it's someone who can take care of her, who's a veteran, who can really wrestle, kind of giving her that Natalia role where you have to make Jade look good in her first feud. And Friday, them all celebrating. And Bianca's entire story during this whole thing is you can't trust anyone.
Yeah.
It's like, Naomi, stop trusting people. What the hell is your problem? Right. And then they trust Jade, and Jade beats the hell out of Naomi. And Bianca's like, You trusted another one. Great job. And they kind of just go off on their own angle. And that leaves Bianca to go off on hers, which we will talk about shortly. LWO versus Santos Escobar and Dirty Dom tag team match. Rey Mysterio, Dragon Lee versus Escobar and Mysterio. I gave my hot take for this. I will reiterate that in a second. Do you have a hot take, or are you playing it straight on this match?
I mean, to me, I'm going to break it down real simple. Rey got to have his moment beating the shit out of his kid in front of a Cinnamon Toast Crunch man.
Yes, he did.
There is no way Rey gets to do it again. Yep. Zero way. Santos and Dom are winning this match. Dom is going to laugh his ass off, gather more heat. We need to start powering up Dom here, because I do have thoughts on what needs to happen with Dominic Mysterio after WrestleMania. But we got to start. He's got to start getting some confidence, getting some wins.
Give us a hot take. Or does it depend still on a match we haven't talked about?
No. Actually, no. We've talked about Rhea. So it really, I mean, I feel like what we have to do at some point is Dom has to get confident enough to the point where he's going to start feeling like he doesn't need Rhea. Because that's the ultimate heel maneuver right now, right? Yep. To give him even more heat at some point down the road, he's got to break mommy's heart.
That's it. You're holding me back.
You're holding me back. Right. And like that will send Rhea to the absolute fucking moon as a babyface. And honestly, have it as a match at some point down the road. WWE, do not be fucking cowards. Rhea and Dom, put them in a match together somehow. If you really need to make it a mixed tag for some reason, go ahead. Do it. All I need to have is on a PLE somewhere down the road, Rhea's got to beat the shit out of Dom. So I like the idea of Dom getting some momentum here and really kind of building it up. And maybe, you know, maybe they're, obviously they teased a little bit of Andrade talking with Judgment Day. Maybe in the fallout of that, maybe Dom kind of falls into that category. And Dom, Andrade, Santos, maybe they start kind of working some stuff up and working some magic together. So we'll see.
You hit it on the head of my hot take right at the end.
Andrade's going to come to the filters here somewhere, right? They've been teasing it.
To me, this is how you win this. I think we're getting the ultimate Spanish
Avenger. I do remember hearing
this. The Avengers of Spanish people is what we are getting.
Sure.
It's what Andrade had in Mexico before he arrived. It's why we have LIJ in New Japan. It's why we have like that crew when it's Andrade, Rush, all this, like a real big faction, because Spanish people run deep. Like there's no fair ones. There's no one-on-ones. It's a lot of us. So they're all going to crew up. And I think it starts here where Dragon Lee is supposed to be the one that is taking over Lucha and the future of Lucha Libre and everything. Dragon Lee's going to turn on Rey. Dragon Lee is going to turn on Rey. He's going to stand tall with Santos, Dominic Mysterio, and Andrade. And we're going to get the like Pose, and all of them are going to be a faction and a crew. Plus, they have a tag team already with Garza.
You're basically what you're doing is you're planning on like having Andrade do what he was supposed to do in AEW, but now doing it in WWE.
Yes, where he brings all the luchador, all the
he is and, the CEO, like he is that guy who calls the shots.
A main event talent, you have a mid card talent in Santos. You have Dirty Dom who can be either or if you want. You have a legit tag team as well. And you have Dragon Lee, who's kind of like the Cruiserweight thing, that's just going to come in and do crazy flippy shit. And you also have a female manager in there. Like, you have everything. And then LWO is in peril. I kind of want to see Zelina Vega come back over and be part of this as well.
You kind of get what really... theoretically, it was kind of what Legado del Fantasma was supposed to be, right? Except it's going to be this kind of 2.0 version of it. I know.
Yeah.
Where it's I don't want to say 2.0 because that's, we think of NXT 2.0, but you get my point.
Yep. It's one of those where we are the future of not only Lucha Libre, we are the future of pro wrestling.
Of professional wrestling, yeah.
It is the Bullet Club equivalent to just be Spanish as fuck. Like there's like 9 members of us and we're all doing something.
And the thing is that really like they haven't done that successfully, like having like a Bullet Club like faction that is just so big. And like honestly, like I'd be down for a curveball like that. That's just like that's almost like what they tried to do with Judgment Day, but it's just better better wrestling. Yeah. Honestly,
tons of them. And Andrade is like the mastermind behind that.
Yes.
And bringing everyone together and saying like, yo, it's so important to be able to play on like, especially now, past tropes and past hardships in WWE, now that Vince is gone. And it's something where you can openly now say, they never give us a chance in this company. Like we had Alberto Del Rio. Like
there's...
no one's giving a bunch of Spanish people a chance here. They made us ride lawnmowers. They made us have fucking lowriders every time.
Right.
You know, we had Eddie, we had Ray. They had their time. But since no one's had a chance, they think we are less than. And we're going to show them that it's our time. Play up on that. You know, Andrade be like, they cut me. Yeah. I was the NXT champion. They let me go. And I came back. I didn't forget that.
I love.
They took our mask. They took our heritage. Like this company don't think shit of us. Let's go. And people were like, oh, they got a good
for it. And I like the idea of like them take over by force. And I almost see like these promos of kind of like what AEW was starting to do when they had Andrade. And, you know, it would be like they would cut promos from like that boardroom that had like the big sky rise window looking out. Like I almost see like cut these promos like it's the Godfather and we're looking at Vito Corleone. Like that's what I want to see Andrade like cut these promos as.
Oh, it's gonna be great.
Where he's just like the mastermind and he is in full control at all times. And I feel like AEW would sometimes scratch the surface with that, but like that's his character and that's when he's at his best. Like when he's kind of like cool, calm, collected, making deals. But he's also like a badass who can come out and kick your ass. Like, I like the idea of them building this whole faction up. So, and almost if you feel like now's the time for Judgment Day to kind of part ways, so to speak, and kind of break that up.
Good faction to just
they can kind of go into their place and be better.
Yep, I agree. This is your faction for like the next 2 years until you have to break them down, and you know elevate whoever comes out of that.
And there's a lot of good talent there. I mean, Santos is great. Andrade obviously is great.
If Andrade works himself to the position where he should be as a world heavyweight champion, because there's two main belts. If he works to the world heavyweight championship or something and he gets that one, that is how you have now Dom, who's been Dirty Dom for so long, push his way to get the belt that his father once held, that Eddie Guerrero once held, to say, you know what?
Wait, they were. Said, you just said the same thing twice.
They were world heavyweight champions. And yes, I understand there's a WWE championship, but that's not what I care about. I care about the belt they had. Yeah. And Andrade's keeping me from that, and they kick him out, and he's finishing his story by getting the belt that they both had 2 years from now, 3 years from now.
Yeah. I think this is like, it's
long-term booking, Cole. There is a lot I did it.
This is where we're
here. I did it for Dom again.
Wait. Oh, wait. Did we just book Dom? Are we booking Dom's entire career?
2 years out, it writes itself.
Buckets. And it gets Andrade going, and it gets Andrade looking strong, which is all.
Done it again.
Yeah.
Did it again,
Cole. I tell you what, the really key part, the X factor that could really make that faction work, I tell you what it is. Take it from real life. Who's Andrade married to?
Ooh.
Bring Charlotte into that faction.
Oh, my God. You're going to have a white queen in the Spanish faction? Shit don't get more Spanish than that, Cole.
But I tell you what, but I'm just telling you, like...
That's some power couple at the top type shit.
And that's a role that is fucking perfect for Charlotte.
And she'd be an asshole.
Because the thing is like with heel Charlotte, there's always like a pathway to her to lose, right?
Yeah.
Not there. No, she can just kick everyone's ass.
Yes.
I think it's I think it fits like her character perfectly.
Yeah. I think that's Zelina and what's the other chick's name?
They can go after tag team belts together.
Tag team belts. Yeah. And then you have like Charlotte being like, oh, I'm the queen. He is the king.
We
stand atop of this whole shit.
And also
that's a faction.
And the thing is too, right? Like if you're with her injury timeline too, it works, right? Because you can kind of like start building this faction up. And ultimately, like if she's in that faction, she's the one with the most cred as far as WWE is concerned, right? So all of a sudden you put the stamp of fucking approval on that, being like Charlotte Flair is here, the winningest, you know, woman on our roster, the queen. She's here.
Yeah, that's some Triple H, Stephanie level of power.
Yes.
Type shit.
And that's
you elevate Andrade to like a
that shit is legit. That shit is legit and would send that to the moon. I'm telling you what. I don't know. I don't know if this is just Ingobernables or like what you call this faction, Legado de Fantasma. I don't know what you call this faction, but like all I know is I'm signing up for this. I'm here for it.
Oh my God. 3 years from now, Dom's chasing. They kick Dom out. Those two are running things.
And then at that point, if it's years down the road and like Dom and Rhea make up and then Rhea and Dom,
not even making up, like Charlotte keeps costing it, Dom, and he needs someone to help him.
Rhea just goes like,
Rhea comes out of nowhere. The reunion, it's like Macho and Miss Elizabeth trotting around the ring. Dude. But mommy picks Dom up on her shoulder and they're back together. Do you know the pop?
This shit. I'm telling you, this shit.
It writes itself, Cole.
This is so good.
Oh,
WWE, just call
us. We've done it again.
We have booked the greatest Spanish faction ever.
Ever.
Have we done it?
The love story, the crumble, the return.
Oh, they're evil. They're good. They're evil.
Oh, and you know, Rhea and Charlotte, that's unfinished business.
Yes. It's just like that's the thing is like Charlotte.
Charlotte with the title and Rhea's getting it back.
That's the X factor, this whole thing. Just let him cook for a little bit while Charlotte's healing. And then at some point, bring the hammer in where Andrade's like, but I've got the secret weapon. And like literally out of the shadows behind him, Charlotte just appears. And it's just, why not take on real life? Like, why not?
It's incredible. I love the booking there. Love it. We've done it again. This is why we need to be on it. This is why we do two wrestling shows.
This is legit. I'm telling you, this is legit.
We've done it again.
Like, sign me up.
And then Jimmy versus Jey Uso.
I tell you what, this, I am, out of all the matches that are on this card, this one bums me out the most. And it bums me out because this should feel way bigger than it is. And part of it is it's the personally, I would have loved to see the Cody and Roman be booked very differently than what we've seen here. Now, I get it. There's always going to be the corporate stuff that kind of gets in the way. And like Rock was put into here.
Yeah.
They had to figure out a way to make Rock work. And to everyone's credit, including the Rock, Trips, everybody, Cody, Seth, Roman, everyone has kind of collectively come together and made it work. So the main event is great. But like, I feel like this should have been like, this should be a war.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like that to me. It just kind of feels like we're doing it for the sake of doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they picked it up too late.
They picked it up too late. Them one-on-one at Mania, or their one-on-one at Royal Rumble, like, should have told them something. Should have told them that, like, this isn't at a fever pitch anymore. Part of it is it comes down to, like, what is the reason that Jimmy betrayed Jay? And that's, there's never been, to me, a good enough reason. It's never really, because, like, Jimmy was the one that got them to like, him super kicking Roman was massive.
Yeah. And then they kind of just backtracked.
And then them winning. Yeah. Them winning versus Solo and Roman at Clash of the Castle. It was a Clash of the Castle, or no, it was Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank.
It was in England. Them and winning that match was hitting awesome. Roman. And then Jay versus Roman at SummerSlam. And then Jimmy just super kicks Jay for no reason. That part has always kind of killed the momentum for this. So it bums me out because, like, this should be a moment where Jay, like, gets even more over. But now I feel like we're using this match to maybe go down the line that Jay wins eventually. So I think Jimmy wins because he's got to have some, like, there's been nothing going for Jimmy, at least as far as comparably to me. He's just kind of been like the comic sidekick of the Bloodline now.
Yep.
The yeet, no yeet thing does not do it for me.
I like the yeet. Just the regular
yeet is great. Like, Jay is
it's
like, you're not Jay. And that's not what Jimmy should be. Like, Jimmy should be his own character. So maybe this is how we start building Jimmy up. So give me Jimmy.
Yeah, I mean, that was my prediction too. It's just like, Jimmy just needs it. Jay's bulletproof.
Jay's got a crap. Like, Jay's got a character.
Yeah.
Jay's been able to develop something.
Jimmy needs this.
Jimmy is still a Bloodline soldier, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. And Jimmy, spoiler alert, being the only Bloodline person to win this weekend is something he'll be like, Roman be like, I can't believe we lost everything.
Take,
he'd be like,
y'all didn't take your best. Well,
he'd be like, I didn't lose. I took care of business.
The definition of who wins in the Bloodline is going to be very, very weird because the main event stuff is going to be weird. But anyways.
And then main event night one. I think I fantasy booked the fuck out of this already.
Oh, yeah. But
it's one of those things where I think, you know, the Rock takes the pin. I've said this past three episodes. Rock takes the pin. Roman gets pissed off because it's not Bloodline rules the next day. Feels like Roman cost him. Turns super heel. Feel like Rock cost him. And then beats the hell out of the Rock. After that match, Rock becomes a babyface and gets to go off as a baby on night two. Maybe helps Cody a little bit night two or something. I don't know. Or celebrates with Cody after night two because Roman just beat the shit out of him. And and we see Roman because everyone's elevated off of this except Roman. It's like he's just been waiting for something. Him and Heyman have been throwing Rock dirty looks this whole fucking time. Right. Rock being the final boss is like, really? You're the final boss? Like, I'm the head of the table. Like, are you comparing yourself to me? And I think Roman has to remind Rock of this. And to get to super heel Roman, ultra booze for night two, he has to beat shit out of Rock because people still love The Rock. They love his work right now. Everything he's been doing, and to turn on The Rock after this match, I think is what takes Roman and what they've been waiting for to the next level for night two. And Cody has to be that version of Roman.
Okay, here's if shit hadn't gotten wacky yet.
Oh, shit, we're getting real.
I see what you're saying here, and I do like your angle of, like, somehow getting Rock to be babyface at the end by helping Cody. I do think that's going to happen, but I don't think it's going to be because the Rock gets pinned. I believe Roman and Rock are going to win in night one. So that sets up bloodline rules for night two. And we'll get to night two in a little bit. But let's focus on night one, because night one's going to have an ending that no one's going to... I don't think anyone's predicting it. At least I haven't seen it out there.
Oh, it's an original Cole special.
Maybe. I mean, maybe someone's booked it. I'm sure someone has. The internet, you know. But I think what's going to happen is The Rock is going to pin Seth Rollins. And it's going to be because Roman and Rock are going to be able to isolate Cody enough.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe tie him up somewhere, something like that. And they're just going to beat the shit out of Seth. My thinking here is they've planted some seeds of doubt within Seth Rollins throughout this build, right? Where like people are kind of questioning his motives a little bit, right? And there's something you have to remember. How is Rock here in the first place, right? Wasn't it Cody that brought out The Rock?
Yeah.
And they shook hands. Let's keep in mind, everyone's looking at that as like a big mistake and we had to retcon that. And yes, we did. But why not? Let's bring this to the forefront here, right? Cody's going to get isolated. Maybe Rock ties up Cody somewhere and they just beat the shit out of Seth. Like, beat the shit out of him. Maybe Seth like starts like kind of like getting a little bit of momentum, but he's going to come out of this match pretty hurt. Rock pins Seth. Bloodline rules. Seth and Cody are there in the ring being like, man, we fucked up. Like, shit. And Seth's going to be like all pissed. Cody is going to be like, hey man, Seth, sorry, that you got pulled it. And like, Seth's going to be like, no, just get out of here. Get out of here. Seth's going to be by himself in the ring. Here comes Senor Money in the Bank. He is going to cash in. And at the end of night one, Damian Priest is going to have the World Heavyweight Championship.
Wow.
You may be asking, well, what about night two? Wait.
I'm enthralled now. I'm in.
Because the beginning of night two, Seth Rollins is going to be talking with the GMs there, being like, hold on a second. Okay, yeah. Send your money in the bank, cash in, he's champ. But like, that match was me and Drew. That match is going to become a triple threat for the world championship. Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre, and Seth Rollins, who's injured, are going to be booked as a triple threat on night two. That's my prediction. And this is after like Roman and Rock get to celebrate for a while. Really, it ends with like Cody and Seth being like, Seth is just going to be like, get the fuck out of here, Cody. Like, I don't need you. Like, you brought me into this mess. Boo, boo, boo. Like, but he's injured. And Damian Priest catches in, and we have a Damian Priest holding up the belt at the end of night one.
Cool. I'm going to be the first to tell you, I've heard that nowhere.
Okay, good.
It makes so much damn sense. Because Priest doesn't get a failed cash in. He gets to be champion and celebrated for a night. Yes. Judgment Day looks great.
Yes.
He clearly dropped the titles without getting pinned earlier.
Yes.
Which is the key to every cash in. You always lose earlier in the night. Then come out on top and win. Oh my God, everyone's great.
It's an ending that no one sees coming.
Yeah, Judgment Day. We're celebrating. We all won. And then night two, shit starts to unravel.
Night two.
Night one would be all about the story of the Judgment Day. Rhea winning, keeping the belt, Dom winning, finally beating his father, probably pinning him, and then send your money in the bank cashing in. And it's the coronation and culmination of the Judgment Day story. For one night.
And if you're worried, because guess what this exits the worry of? Because maybe we can just roll this right into night two and we can just start talking about this now booked triple threat. Now, we should say with a caveat, if this doesn't happen, I do believe Seth Rollins will still lose the belt and Drew McIntyre will win.
Agreed.
Seth will be beat up from night one. But let's talk in this alternate universe that I've created here, in which it's a triple threat now. Damian Priest, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre.
Yep.
Well, ain't this the perfect time to put a belt on Drew McIntyre? Drew McIntyre wins.
Seth's going to get pinned three times in one weekend.
Let's say, I will say he pins Damian Priest. Let's save Seth Rollins because Seth doesn't need to come out of here being totally.
Seth is still injured. No one told him to hobble his ass into the match.
That's true. But like, that's like an opening for the match, right? Like they both know he's hurt and then they'll just both beat the shit out of Seth at the beginning of the match. But then eventually like Drew and Damian are going to have to start beating each other up. But ultimately we all feel like we have to put this belt on Drew, not only because man is in fuego.
Yeah.
But hello, SummerSlam, that tricep's healed.
Yeah, that's the story.
CM Punk, Drew McIntyre. Like, it just makes all the sense in the world. Plus, like, yeah, Drew's on a roll. He's hater of the year. Hate. Give him the belt so he can continuously hate. And he will thank God Almighty for giving everybody so much and him so little. So, yeah.
You've done it again, Cole.
But I think that I feel like this is a way to give Damian's cash in some strength, right? Yep. It still comes at a good point. He was champion for a day, but I think we've all kind of been like, how does he fare as a champion long term? There isn't something for him there yet.
No.
So this makes sense for him to get the belt. They get to have a moment. He gets to have a moment.
Gets a WrestleMania moment.
He gets a WrestleMania moment. And like we talk about, I mean, now granted, Seth held onto that belt for a while, but how big of a moment was Seth's cash in? And poetry in motion, it's Seth getting cashed in on at the end of WrestleMania night.
Yeah.
Heck, you know what, Damian? Go ahead and swing that belt. Go ahead and swing that belt like yourself. Do that. So that is going into night two. I still pick, no matter what the circumstance, I think Drew McIntyre still wins that match. But
that's your best booking ever.
Thank you.
I go on ever. It makes so much sense that I can't believe no one's thought of it. I'm hoping they thought of it because it makes that much sense.
To the point where if they don't use it, I might
be disappointed.
I mean, here's the question. When else is going to be a moment for him to cash in other than a failed cash in?
Call it in right now. Do you know anyone who knows Trips? Call it in. Let's do a Vince McMahon style order.
I do know some people who are calling some shots there. Maybe Cole give him a call.
Cole is plugged in. Please.
But point being, I would love to see that. I think that's the best way to cash it in. And there you go.
Great. Well, that's how we
start night two.
I wish I would have known of this because we would have just ended the show on that shit. I'm upset that we have other.
No, but we still have Roman and Cody. We still have to get there.
That's the best shit I've heard all week. Io Sky versus Bayley. Me and Dre agreed on this. You may not. Io Sky wins. You said what happens to Judgment Day, or not Judgment Day,
damage control
after this. Damage control starts after this.
Okay.
Because they've been coasting. They still have the women's tag team champions, because even though they lost, they still have the belts. Io becomes the Io they need her to be by beating Bayley and crushing the dreams. Not everyone can have a happy story ending.
Right.
Someone's dreams have to be crushed on Mania, and that's going to be Bayley's, because they have to make her feel, as great as this is, as the underdog that she was before. And her character in NXT and a babyface Bayley always has to be more of an underdog.
Yeah.
She lost a shit ton in NXT before she got that belt. And they need to build that up even more. So maybe SummerSlam will be her thing, but Io has to look strong. They have to put on a really, really good match. And Trips has three of his arguably favorite NXT champions ever. In this faction, he's not going to let it fail. He's not going to let it be something lackluster. They just bought back, people for this faction.
Right.
It's going to be something that's going to be reckoned with, and it's just getting started.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that to me makes a lot of sense, because I think going into this card, I worried about damage control, but I think it also makes sense too, because Bayley hasn't. Like, yes, she's the baby face in this particular match, right? But has she really fully like transformed back into that version of Bayley that I think everyone is wondering, when is that going to come back, because it didn't work out the first time? I, I know there's calls for where are the wacky wavy inflatable arm flailing tube men. It's not going to be at this WrestleMania.
No.
It is going to be at the next one. When she then takes this loss as a way for her to kind of find her way back.
Cody style.
Cody style.
Finish the story.
Finish the story. So yeah, she need, like, that's the thing is like, yes, there have been obviously like adversity in her way, but I feel like we've kind of, ever since she had that big entry and she came back at not last year's SummerSlam, but the SummerSlam before that, yep. This has been a new version of Bayley. This new version of Bayley needs to have this as like the starting point to go like, okay, you know what? I wasn't good enough to cash in on my dream here. I'm going to do it in the next one. You bet your ass. Like, I'm coming. So,
yep.
And therefore she can kind of mold the character that she's made now and then take elements of her past and kind of create a new version of Bayley.
She can make amends for the past year and a half of being the hell out
like,
of people.
Ultimately, it doesn't make sense for her to just flip a switch and go full hugger mode. Like, yeah. There needs to be a new version of that. That's got a little bit more edge to it, yeah. But is still that version of Bayley that we all grew to know and love.
What she tweeted today kind of broke my heart.
No
due paramount. due to scheduling, man. No Paramount.
But that's great.
Unless they're working me. And they're going to pop me.
But that's
perfect. On night two just when Paramore comes
just
on.
Guess what? You know what? We're talking about how all this should build up to a Mania next year. Guess what? Hey, Paramore, what are you doing next WrestleMania?
Let's book you now.
Book you right now.
Now. Like, leave it open, please. And then LA Knight, AJ Styles, they fought at the presser today. Like a press event. I like it. It's something good for both. LA Knight's going to go over. He's going to, you know, stand taller. Yeah. The whole stadium, 80,000. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things. And AJ Styles doesn't need to win shit. And this is like, yeah, this is my dude. Yeah. Like, yeah, this is Impact main event on WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? So, yeah, no, I think I wish this match would have had a stipulation because they should be beating the shit out of each other. But we have one of those, I guess, later. On this card already, so it's like, all right, I think it's gonna be a fun little match. They're not gonna get a ton of time, 15-16 minutes, all they need.
Yeah, no, I think it's gonna be kind of basically for all intents and purposes, it's a hey, don't forget about me match, you know, it's like a kind of like the alternate to a heat check, right? Where we're not necessarily checking if they've got the heat. It's more like, just understand that like, we know how big, unlike what happened last year, where Vince clearly got his hands on that card and we didn't get LA Knight on that card.
Yeah.
In LA. Now that makes any fucking sense. This is a chance for LA Knight to really get that kind of WrestleMania mo. Because at some point, he should probably be holding one of those mid-card titles. Should be U.S. title or Intercontinental Championship. One of those at some point.
Quick.
Next year. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. This is one that's, yo, he's too over. He has to be on this card.
Yep.
And who can we give him? AJ is perfect always foil. Really fucking good. That's it.
Let's get some TNA chance going.
And AJ losing then brings in the possibilities of like, okay, maybe the Good Brothers... Like, maybe they got to crew up and be assholes together.
Right.
Like, yo, listen, you lost. We went down to NXT. Like, it ain't working for us anywhere else. Like, let's be assholes and be who we know we can be.
And then Trips introduces trios belts, and here we go. We're off the ring. No, I'm kidding.
More belts.
Have as big of a more belts problem as the other companies.
No. But it plays better into my all Latino faction because there's a million people there.
They
like
use trios belts.
They could really use some right there. And then we have, I'm not calling them that, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus the Final Testament.
Uh huh. This is the most nothing match on the card, right? I think we can all agree.
It is. The Final Testament has to win
the final
because.
Cross has to look
what are
like
you doing?
$20.
Yeah. Cross needs to get rid of the fucking hair. He's way less menacing with the hair. It's the opposite of you. I'm always saying he has to get rid of the hair. I feel like you're growing the hair back. I appreciate this. You're doing it to pop me. You still got the baby face you played for the Yankees look. But when the beard comes back with the hair, it's going to be one hell of a combo. And now we're rolling. Now we're back. But the
sorry, beard. I'm still lost on the Yankee statement because, like, yeah, I just shaved yesterday. No, I can't say anything to that. I can't say anything to that.
No. Yeah, it's, you know why you did it.
No, that is not why I did it. It's because itchy, for God's sake.
I'll see you like next week and the beard will be back. Exactly. But the hair looks great.
Final Priest, testament.
Yeah, Priest has to go. Final testament. What we're doing with them in the following week? Who the fuck knows?
Just give me the old Street Profits back. That's all I want.
That's it.
They were awesome. Like when we saw them in Vegas going against the Usos, they were.
Yeah, that's a babyface faction.
Yeah.
Like just let them rock.
You can't have evil party cups falling from the sky.
But I will be one to say splitting the tag team titles up gives all the tag teams more opportunity and reason to have a better tag team division. So I have faith on that going forward, that we can get the Street Profits back in meaningful main event title matches. Because so far, tag teams have been in limbo because the champs haven't been defending them because they're all single stars. And between the Bloodline and then Cody and Jay having it for a point, and the Bloodline, then Judgment Day, and then it's just...
Oh, yeah, and the Usos have been tied up ever,
Yeah, it's just tied up in a story for 2 years.
And then the Unified New Day couldn't go against them anymore and all.
It sucks. So splitting these are going to be great. And then last match, Roman versus Cody, night two. You have it, Bloodline rules. It's weird to have like that stipulation if you're not going to use it, like to tease it if you're not going to use it, right?
Right, yeah.
But I think to me, obviously, I picked Cody and Seth to win night one. That's why you tease it, because every Roman match is Bloodline rules. This is an unspoken stipulation to his 3-year reign. Every match is this. You put it in there because for the first time, it is not that.
And would you say for the first time we are acknowledging it?
One on one. That's what the match will be on Sunday. And Roman had to stay on his own too. And Cody was like, this is what I've been waiting for. Because you can't beat me one-on-one. If it's Bloodline rules, then we get a bunch of shenanigans. And then fuck if we get like John Cena and Stone Cold to come out.
Well, regardless.
Give me shenanigans on night one. Yo, I don't need that on night two. Let them just have a match.
No, but it's a Roman match. So regardless if it's one-on-one or Bloodline rules, it just is. That's just a matter of if the ref should come to the ring wearing football pads. Like, because if it's a one-on-one match, that ref getting knocked out.
Sure, but you can't. You automatically lose if there is interference, which is shitty waiting in the match.
If a ref sees it, the ref's going to be down. It's the same. Either way, at least in my scenario, Bloodline rules is active.
Yes, so you're getting shenanigans.
Because what I feel like is going to happen, and this is not necessarily indicative of what I want to see happen, but I do believe that this is where we'll see Rock turn on Roman. If it's Bloodline rules, is that like the Rock eventually, like at a key point in the match, seems like Cody's dead to rights and the Rock is there. Rock's about to rock bottom him, but then he turns to Roman and rock bottoms him and just leaves. Because then you set up Roman and Rock for later, whether it's SummerSlam or next Mania, whenever you want to do it. Because at some point you have to go back to the fact that Cody brought Rock into this in the first place. Like, don't just retcon that and tell me that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Because it did happen. It was dumb when it happened. But you know what? If you want to redeem this moment for Rock, not necessarily for Cody, because I do believe it doesn't make Cody's... In a perfect scenario, Cody wins this one-on-one, and it was the destruction of the Bloodline, and like that's how he finishes his story. The fact of the matter is we're too far gone from that point, in my opinion, for that to just be simply the case. Cody's going to have to win with some shenanigans in place. I still don't think it's a case of like Roman does the rock bottom, and then like Cody does crossroads and wins.
Yeah.
I think that should happen somewhere in the middle, where like Rock betrays him, and then maybe Solo or Jimmy comes out and hits Rock. I don't know. Yeah. Like, Cody should still be up against the ropes at the point where Cody wins. You know, maybe they do the same. They mimic the same finish as last year where Solo hits Cody. And like, that's like Cody's going, goes down, and then Roman goes for the pin and Cody kicks out and then hits a crossroads and wins. Like, yeah. Build in the ever, there's going to be shenanigans in this, whether we like it or not, because there's just too, there's too many players at play that have been put into this, and the bloodline has not been destroyed. Right. We could have been working the whole summer towards that. We didn't. This is where we're at. So this is where I believe Rock turns on Roman and goes, yo, I've seen all those looks. You've been born at me. Understand this is my house. So that way you can have final boss versus, you know, the head of the table.
It's just weird to me because it's like, what do Rock's not leaving as a heel. And that's kind of a heel thing to do, is to turn on another guy.
But not to turn on Roman to help Cody. If he's turning on Roman to help Cody, then he looks like the hero all, like he was the double agent all along. You know what I mean? Like, Cody handshaked him, you know, like, and he originally had nice things to say about his family. And then they started slapping each other. And also this builds in, like, then you build in Raw after Mania kind of stuff where Seth can start going like, bro, was I just set up the whole time? Dude, did you just hang me out to dry? And then Seth can start beefing with Cody again, which I know we've already seen, but at least it gives you something to kind of start Cody's reign off. Like, I think
Cody got to take that belt back to SmackDown. And there's a bunch of new, fresh faces for him to feud with over there.
Right.
But that belt has to go where it is. Because, like, the heavyweight championship is kind of,
I think it honestly adds a nice wrinkle to Cody. Here's how I really kind of wish it would have been booked. Is that, like, we almost have like the war with the bloodline. Like, Cody starts gathering troops essentially on Raw to go at war with the bloodline, and they start taking down the bloodline pillar by pillar. And then by like the time that Cody gets the belt, they're like, yay, Cody wins. But then it's like a case of like, Cody doesn't start really paying off like for everybody else that helped him. And then everyone else starts going like, well, wait a second. We just all helped you.
Yeah. Where's our show?
Exactly. And then like, that's how you can kind of start his reign off, right? Like, that's how I would have ideally liked to start doing it. At least this way, with like the Rock turning on Roman in the second night, it builds in a seed of doubt to like where Cody is like, yes, he's the face. But you know what? He kind of connived a little bit with everybody.
Yep.
And you know what? Like, Cody can start living in that tweener zone a little bit, because at the end of the day, he will be cheered no matter what.
I missed out on the whole ass match, but yeah, sure.
We'll get there. But yeah, I think Cody.
Yeah.
Cody can live in that tweener territory where he couldn't live in that in AEW.
I will say, no, Cody's going to be white meat as white meat baby faces get. But
I think it starts out that way for sure.
The match that I missed is clearly my next feud for Cody, because it's Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens, a SmackDown match where it's very possible Logan leaves with the belt. But I'm going to say Kevin Owens wins this title. Logan's done what he needs to do for it. I would like to see Kevin Owens win this title, personally. It gets a little weird. Dre picked Logan, and the only reason that makes sense is because SummerSlam's in Cleveland. And it's like, if you let him hold the belt going into Cleveland, like, it's kind of like the reason you're in Cleveland.
Right.
But I think he can have any match there, and he's going to sell. Doesn't matter. Him being around this whole fucking time, like, and ask him to carry this for 3 more months is kind of tough. But I'd say Kevin Owens wins this. He can go on and defend this title, IC title, and have another, or the United States Championship, and have another good run with that. Randy Orton comes up short because Randy Orton doesn't need this belt in the United States Championship. Oh, but who is on SmackDown now as a new champion?
Sure.
And what is a feud that people have wanted for a very, very long time?
That's a SummerSlam match right there.
It, like, a summertime feud with Cody and Randy would be great.
Especially
you just plant the seeds. Because I think Cody has to face Solo as his first challenge his champion because Roman's not going to let it go. Roman would be off television, but he'll be like, Solo, I was done dirty. You go get that shit back. And you deliver it to the tribal chief and whatever. So that's backlash. Cody wins there. But then you get to Money in the Bank in July. Cody and Orton can have like their first match there. And then second match, SummerSlam, and you're good.
Makes sense too, because Roman, that would be a Roman thing to do, would be like send Solo after the belt. Because he would almost go like, that belt right now, because of what The Rock did to me, means nothing. I have bloodline business to take care of. You have Cody.
Go get that.
To go take care of.
And just bring it to
bring
me.
It to me. Yeah.
And just relinquish it. Go win it for him. So I think that's, and it's backlash. So you kind of have to go back on WrestleMania stuff. So
that gives like, I want to see Randy go back to being like old Randy Orton, like psychological heel.
It was like a month for him to really fuck around and
you
like,
you know what? Just like
get angsty,
figure out what Ted DiBiase Jr. is doing so he can be punted. Like just figure it out, you know, like
it's one of those, like you had a story. Congrats. My story is chasing the most WWE titles ever. That's my story. I'm dangerously close to this. You're kind of in my way.
So, I'll tell you something about legacy. Yeah. See,
yes. Like, you know, it's one of those things where he could say, I'm glad, but before you had a story, before people thought you could be here, I've done this 14 times. And, you know, being away for 2 years, there's never time to just wait. I don't have all the time in the world. And it could be a, okay, Money in the Bank. You helped me out. You were like my big bro, Randy. I'll give you a shot. Cody beats him. The beatdown after that. Oh, you think you're going to beat me and then we're going to be chummy? Full punt kick, punt. Randy Orton just... leaving
RKO
Cody just
doom.
Oh, just spread out RKO on the table. Leave Cody.
Wait,
wrecked.
Are you coming up with reasons for Cody to bleed?
Cody must bleed.
Cody must bleed.
Yeah, and then Randy just leaves him there, and now we get full heel Randy SummerSlam.
I would be down for full heel Randy. We
got us the
check,
Cole. We booked one person's thing all the way out 3 years.
We booked an entire
booking
faction.
People.
We
oh,
booked,
my God.
We booked
that's 3 year
the
booking
bank.
A faction. Yeah.
We booked the Money in the Bank cash in.
Just give us a check. That's all we need. We're good. We'll book it from home.
I'm just saying. You know, that certainly we go back to the cash in. I think that's my boldest weird hot take yet.
That's your best take.
Your best take. You know, I think the only thing is I didn't intro it the way I should have, which was like the winner at the end of night one isn't in this match. That's really what I needed to start it with. But you know,
that would be, you know, pure perfect Cole.
Yeah.
The teasing of that. But no, I loved it. I love the booking. Glad we did this second show. It's long as hell. People are gonna enjoy it and listening to it, you know,
that's
today.
That's because we got weird, you know, like, but that's what, like,
that's what we're here for. It's to get weird.
Because Dre's the smart one, not a ball.
Yeah.
So, like, you know.
But when we predict it correctly, Dre's going to come back and be like, again? Like,
look, I'm just going to say, like, our track record, look, anyone's track record of fantasy booking is going to have a lot of zeros on it. It's like a batting average in baseball, right?
Yep.
But you know what? We got a hit. In fact, we don't even just have a hit.
Park.
We have a home run.
Yes.
With Dom. Because you called that shit straight and up.
We're going to get it again. Up. Cole, I feel like you called night one just now.
I'm just saying, if Damian Priest walks out at the end of night one or runs out
there. Clip. Get the clip ready.
I'm going to take a lap around this freaking neighborhood.
I'm telling you this. Don't even post the clip before. It lives on this show. It lives to everyone who listened to this or watched this.
And then the next morning.
When it hits, just have it ready. I'm gonna post it at that exact moment. Told you so.
And ready.
At the end, I'll just leave us staring at the camera for a little bit. We'll put that at the end, and I just need you maniacally laughing. That's it. Clip that and put it at the end. Cole knows all. It is amazing. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This one, hell of an episode, man. It's been great. It's always great to chop it up with producer Cole Bebe. We are going to try to get, because we're going to watch Mania together anyway on a Zoom. We're going to try to get this shit on Discord. So everyone, Corner Club, everyone who is on there, if you're not at Mania, because several of our Corner Club members are and talking about it in the Discord right now, FOMO has set in. Shout out to everyone sending videos and pictures and everything from LA Mania and the indie shows and making me sad to be here at my crib actually doing work, I guess. You know, I love my new job, but, you know, get me grounded for this weekend. Ron Simmons. Ron Simmons, Dan. It's great. But if you aren't there, join us on Discord. We'll be talking and chopping it up and talking, doing the whole thing. Pretty sure Big Mac, Ryan McKinnell, is going to come through my house too. So he'll be here. We'll be talking and everything. So it'll be fun, man. It's going to be great watching everything together. So we're going to try to set that up for you guys. Just keep your eyes out. I'll post on Patreon and what's going on and Twitter and all that good stuff. And we'll make it happen. So we appreciate you all. As always, keep it short and sweet. For myself, producer Cole, baby, enjoy WrestleMania weekend. We'll be here next week to recap it all. Oh, man, I'll be back from Philly with some amazing new news. Everyone will know this by the time that happens as well. So it's fun. It's a good week. Till next time, we're out.
Cheese steaks for everyone.